All right, we're back. Desi Lu, After Ooh. Dark. Woo. Living like, yeah. I got to shake it off. It got a little emotional.
You need to go Roomba.
I like it, man. I'm vibing. Oh, I'm going to take
Yeah, you can,
Hot button's coming down. I'm in Miami, baby. We're in the Miami studio.
Yeah.
And Jolie is back with us. Jolie.
Yeah.
Did you have a good time?
Hello. Yeah.
Yeah. I was telling her, the biggest challenge of doing an Art of Darkness episode is holding your pee until
you know you can't just stand up and go to the restroom.
Yeah,
you can
I know, but you get a rhythm, you get on track. Yeah,
true. Well, so this is the After Dark episode for our Patreon subscribers. If you're listening to this, we thank you for your support. We want to hear from you too. It's nice to see new people. I try to send a message to everybody who comes on. I say, hey, thanks for supporting the show. We want to hear your feedback. If you liked an episode, let us know. If you didn't, maybe just hold your I'm kidding. You can tell us, this worked for me, blah, blah, blah. I also would like to hear, I know we love hearing suggestions. Oh, do this do that person. Yeah. When we finally want to kill the show, we're going to do Hitler.
Right.
That's going to be our final episode. Will be Adolf Hitler.
Right.
And then he was an artist.
He was an artist.
Neither here nor there.
Yeah.
But we're not going to kill the show. We're going strong. We're going, I think, not formally into our year two, but this is year two. And it's work. It seems to be working. People seem to like the show.
People are digging it. And we do like suggestions. I will say one thing, and I've gotten so many good suggestions from people. I'm not ignoring them. It's a lot of work putting one of these episodes together. So they're coming. They're coming when we can get to them. And we've got a lot of ideas in the hopper. Many of them subjects who've been suggested to us, and just maybe we'll do a little thing. What we've got coming up now, we're doing an episode very soon on the Chelsea Hotel, famous haunt of many artists from every discipline genre in New York City. That's going to be with our good friend Michael Backinson.
We're breaking ground here. We did our first episode with two subjects, and then we're going to do our first episode about a piece of architecture. I think that's quite fun.
Yeah. I think we've got room to go out and explore those areas and see how they do. And sometimes it just makes sense. It didn't make sense to do a Lucille Ball episode by herself. It didn't make sense to do a Desi Arnaz episode by himself either. So that made sense. We've got also coming up, we've got a great episode. Well, we haven't recorded yet, so I don't know if it's great, but it's going to be great. Adam Lehrer, also known as Safety Propaganda 1 on the Burb site, is the author of a great book about called Communions, about heroin and the artistic tradition, I guess you'd call it. He's written about William S. Burroughs and Annika Vaughn, previous subjects of ours. He's going to come on and give us his insights, and we're going to dig a little further into those subjects.
Wait. We're going to do an entire episode on heroin?
Well, we're going to do an episode on William S. Burroughs and Annika Vaughn.
The moral of the story, kids, is always never do heroin.
Always never do it.
Never. Right. Always never do heroin.
Yeah.
Never.
Yeah.
Not once. Not even once. Don't.
Agreed.
Do it.
100%. Certainly. And his book definitely doesn't glamorize it, but it's common enough that it's a subject worthy of conversation, I think.
We need more merch too. We have merch. If you go to the website, there's a link.
Coffee mug. Also, I should point out that the logo, our banging logo, was designed by our guest.
Woo! We are among Art of Darkness royalty.
It's true. Here. It's true. It's true. I should have mentioned. I meant to mention that on the main episode, and I should have.
I will mention it when
we tweet about it.
Yeah, please do. Kafka was a hack, was a hit t-shirt. We've got people in the wild wearing that shirt.
True.
There's
true.
No reference to Art of Darkness anywhere on the shirt. Yep. So it's a complete branding and marketing failure. Nobody's going to ask these poor people, what do you mean Kafka was a hacker? Right. Nobody asks you that. I wear it around Minnesota. People look at me like it's a like a dog that just got shown a card trick.
Yeah.
Nobody, they look at me, you're clever, but what does it mean? What do you think of a t-shirt that says, do podcasts, not heroin?
Okay, we could
product test this stuff when we're not recording an episode. I'm just gonna keep spitballing. Okay, all right. Good. So what do you have here?
We've got the what do we got? Well, let me give we got the Rejoice episode coming up with the great Aldous Asterion and Aaron Gwynn. I don't know if I mentioned we've got an MF Doom episode in development, the great MF Doom who passed away a little over a year ago. What else we got? Hugulian from the internet is coming on to talk about Franz Kafka, probably in February. H.P. Lovecraft episode in development with the great publisher and writer Ben Thomas.
So many good episodes.
Anyway, we'll call it there. Yeah. So yeah, we got a lot in the hopper. 2022 is gonna be great.
And if you're into this show enough to subscribe to the Patreon, please tell your friends. We do put a lot of work into these episodes. We're good for about 2 a month, and the effort, I hope, comes through in what we do. Mm-hmm. And we drop money on books and things. I bought a number of books for the book. So every bit of cash that goes into the show, it comes out. We churn it. We massage it. We do the alchemy to it. And we bring you high quality audio.
Yeah.
In theory. There we go. Yeah. So now we're back on Lucy and Desi. And tell me about the mob connection. I'm very interested in this.
Yeah. Yeah. So in this is more of a Lucille Ball thing. Desi had the one step remove connections to the mob world. You know, he's a nightclub singer in the 30s. You know, so there was kind of around him all of the time. But Lucille Ball surprisingly had some connections and some overlaps into that world. And maybe Jolie can kind of sketch that out for us a little bit.
Yeah, so, you know, Lucy doesn't have a ton of super dark things. I mean, I think she has, you know, darkness that's kind of a different flavor, as I think we hit on, a little bit more emotionally complicated. Mm-hmm. So, you know, she's sort of got these parallels to some of the stuff Desi had when she's in this nightclub world and living in New York City and, you know, trying to get into entertainment. So it started with Johnny, as we talked about. Johnny DeVita, who she dated when she was 14 and he was 21 or 23. And he was, it's not really confirmed whether or not his family was, you know, in the mafia. They had a lot of wealth and didn't seem to do anything to get it and continued to accumulate that wealth.
This was bootlegging time.
And they are bootlegging. That is confirmed. And so he is involved with that. He's working for his dad, you know, in the family business, and all of his male relatives, brothers, cousins, they're doing the same thing. You know, she dates Johnny, and from reports, he sort of got her to be really foul-mouthed. And he called her Lou or Slim. So when she would write him letters, she'd sign them Lou or Slim. And she called him Doc for some reason.
Oh, that's very kind of like old school mobstery.
It is.
Doc. Yeah.
It is. So she kind of has this reputation. So then she goes to New York and she's modeling. And she is rooming with some of the models. And hanging out with them. And this is the era where she may or may not have been an escort. So she was hanging out. Now, in interviews or, you know, with friends, she has said that she was not sleeping with these men. We know that she definitely didn't save herself for Desi. I mean, she got married to him, you know, she was 30, I want to say, right around there, dated many, had many serious affairs with people. Up until that point. So she and these models are going to the Colton Club, which was apparently an area that was frequented by the organized crime folks, I don't know what you call them, in New York at the time. So
you call them criminals.
The organized crime criminal folk. So during this time, she dated Cubby Broccoli. Do you guys know who Cubby Broccoli is?
I just know that name from you mentioning it, which is awesome. That's a great name.
I am not familiar. I'm not Cubby Broccoli pilled. Pill me on Cubby Broccoli.
I had not heard of him either. I guess that later he produced a bunch of the James Bond films.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, right. The Broccoli family. They Alan really are. It's, it sounds ridiculous, but yeah, if you look at any James Bond movie, you're going to see the Broccolis. It's really hilarious.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Not to be confused with the carrots across town or the peas on the side of the plate.
Yeah. So she could have been Slim Broccoli if she hadn't stayed on the straight and narrow.
Double O Delicious.
Sponsored by Philip Morris.
Yeah.
Right. But she ends up, so she dates Cubby for a little bit, and he's not really like, they didn't really pin him in any sort of organized crime stuff as much, but his cousin, Pat DiCiccio, I'm Italian, so I don't know how to say that. I'm just taking a good stab.
Yeah.
Is an associate of Lucky Luciano.
Okay.
So he is in this world. And according to one of her friends, she said, Pat taught me tricks in bed. I think he learned in a brothel in Shanghai. So
I was pals with an old timer in Manhattan who went way back, and he would tell us stories of growing up during World War II in Manhattan. And he would talk about Lucky Luciano and these guys. And that was the real thing. It was the real deal.
Yeah, he was apparently Lucky Luciano was the first official boss of the modern Genovese crime family. After he, Luciano is considered the father of modern organized crime.
Right.
After he abolished the Boss of Bosses title held by Salvatore Maranzano following the Castellammarese War. So he's,
And for you young people, organized crime is what we call the government now.
Right.
So it used to be called organized crime. Now it's just the government.
It's just,
So
they changed the law.
And they a lot of mergers, a lot of things went on. You might want to watch The Sopranos and just read about a fellow named Jeffrey Epstein. And this is the genesis of the contemporary government.
Yeah. All right. I like it.
Okay.
I'm on board.
I'm editorializing a little bit. Joey, get us back on track here. So Lucky Luciano. No, but the stories, you got to imagine too, this is like the 30s, the 40s, earlier. Yeah. It's like, it's nightclubs. It's the interwar period. And
And we know that prohibition really gave fuel to the organized crime movement. Cause it was something you can make a lot of money on, right? I mean, think about how much money's in the booze industry now. Now just imagine that was all criminals making it, right? It's a lot of money. Sure.
I mean, and the government went so far as to poison stills of alcohol in order to kill people, to kill alcoholics, sort of deter people from drinking, but it killed a bunch of people. I don't mean to hijack, take a little aside. I'm very interested in this right now because my screenwriting and partner and I, we're thinking about possibly writing something about St. Paul, Minnesota during this period. They used to call it, like I said, Crooks Haven, and all the criminals, including Al Capone, would hide out in the Twin Cities because the sheriff, I think it was O'Connor, so the Eternal Hibernian, there was a rule where if you showed up in town, you were a known felon, if you announced yourself to the police, greased their palms, and did not do any dirt in the city, you would be left alone. This went on for a long time. In 1932, everybody has this idea of Minnesota, the Twin Cities, as being this nice place that just suddenly got out of control. It's like, nope, it's been like this forever. And in 1932, one in five bank robberies happened in the state of Minnesota.
Holy moly.
This is there. Anyway, that's neither here nor there, but I think it's very interesting. So Jolie, so she dated somebody she kind of in this circle.
Dated somebody adjacent to it, at least, right?
Pat DiCiccio, yeah.
Pat DiCiccio.
Associate.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, an associate is a formal title in this world, too. I've seen The Sopranos.
Right.
This isn't like a guy I employ as a contract. This is a guy. Maybe not a made man, but an associate. That's very interesting. This reminds me too, when we get around to doing Frank, that is gonna be a fun episode. Doing Sinatra and whole mob world Hollywood intersection.
They're very closely. That's the thing, is they're very closely related, especially early on. I don't know anymore, but there's a good way to hide money and move money and feel like you were a player. You know, like the organized crime in early Hollywood were cooperational businesses, really. Well, and then Las Vegas was all built by mobsters. So yeah.
And then Denzi Jr. was in a band with Dean Martin's son. And so, continues in the
sphere. They're right there. It's like right next to it. Yeah, it's very interesting. Yeah, so
everything else for Lucy is kind of, it's kind of speculative maybe. Could be a rumor, don't really know. I mean, there's a couple of accounts of a night that she was in Harlem, she was dancing, she grabbed a friend's hand because she felt like something was off, ran from the club, and somebody got gunned down. And then another time she was taking a bath and somebody like fired on the apartment with a bunch of bullets. It hit the side of the tub and, you know, she was fine. I don't know. I mean, she obviously doesn't talk about these, but this is all sort of accounts of this era and her social life during
that time. she was sort of living a little bit of a seedy or very close to seedy lifestyle, right? I mean, you mentioned she was an escort, but at that time you could have been an escort without actually sleeping with people, right? You might actually just be the paid arm candy for somebody for the night.
I mean,
at Tiffany's. Yeah, go on,
Julie. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely were that. She told a story about how they would go out to these nice dinners and they'd get paid. You know, they'd go out and dinner would be paid for, but then they were poor outside of that and they didn't have food. So somebody taught her a trick where you take a dinner roll and you cut it in half and you scoop out the inside and you put it on your plate and you order your meat without a lot of juice and you cut up your meat and you cut up your potatoes and you make really interesting conversation. And then you take these dinner rolls in your purse and you get a big bag and it's not a nice one. And you scoop your potatoes and your meat into these dinner rolls and you put them in your bag. And then you have lunch the next day. She said those are like her favorite lunches. So yeah, she's scraping along. She's trying to like live this social life and make it without much money. So
yeah. And that's crazy to think that the going from that to being one of the most famous people on the planet, and not, you know, by the time she's 41 or something, she's, you know, maybe the most recognizable woman in America.
She was in topless modeling.
Was she? Yeah.
There's some photos.
Oh, okay. All right.
Spicy.
Fun. Yeah, it's been fun. Yeah. I did find my YouTube video. Is called I Love Lucy, Hid the Name of Lucifer for 66 Years. And it has 107 likes, 12,000 views, and they're rearranging all the letters and all of the names of the different characters to produce the name Lucifer, which of course she clearly sold her soul to Lucky Luciano in order to get this studio. I have no doubt, having clicked on this third link and found this YouTube video, that this is true.
Right.
And unfortunately, we can't put these episodes out because I won't associate with anything
Luciferian.
It's a conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
You've got something to do. I'm going to go look for the topless photos. you've got something to do too. I am only joking, of course.
I love that. There's a conspiracy theory probably for every subject we've done so far.
Everything has these just crazy connections where you finally do veer into the realm of the unwell.
At a
certain point.
Well, yeah, I like the letters thing because it's like, well, there's 26 letters in the alphabet. So, you know, it's not that hard to rearrange some into saying something else. It's not that.
So, Jolie, you would say this period where she was moving in those circles, this was the New York period, New York City period, and it probably didn't last all that long. And by the time she got out into California, it was sort of, she had...
It was definitely, I mean, before she was at Hattie's. Or in the early phases of that. So when she's doing a lot of like the showgirl sort of interviews, trying to get on Broadway, just starting her modeling.
She's probably like 18, 19, 20.
Yeah.
Like
I'm trying to think of that moment too, when she gets the big Chesterfield ad, what that must have felt like to be wandering around Manhattan and to see yourself blown up that large. And so she had model good looks then, clearly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was very skinny. She didn't have she didn't have a figure. So, you know, I think that was something, you know, that she felt like she couldn't really play at the table like some of the other girls, but
yeah, and I think one thing that doesn't translate as much into the television is big blue eyes. I mean, the fact that they were big, I guess, translates, but you know, she had, you know, big blue kind of piercing eyes, and I think that was part of the look for her as well. Yeah. So.
So what about Desi and Al Capone?
Oh well, the only real thing with the Al Capone thing is that Desi was like best buds with Sonny Capone, and down in Miami. This is while Al Capone is actually in prison in San Francisco,
Al Capone got around.
Yeah, he was in Alcatraz. Yeah. They put him in Alcatraz, right?
Sure.
There was a time when Desi was hanging out at Sonny's house, and a phone call came in, and for whatever reason, Desi answered it and talked to Al Capone for several minutes on the phone. So he's down here in Miami, and he had his own, you know, then later nightclub thing. But even down in Miami, I mean, there was organized crime going on down there. This Mother Kelly guy that he kind of got hooked up with his first big nightclub gig. You know, it's always right there, the whole crime thing.
Wherever there is government, there is organized crime. All government is crime. It's all crime. It's always been all crime from beginning to end, top to bottom. It's all crime. Yeah. And it really is. It's entertainment, crime. Wherever there's liquor, women, drugs, it's crime, crime, crime. Did I mention that I'm rewatching The Wire?
Are you rewatching The Wire? Yeah, everything is.
Too many girls. Season 2 of The Wire is probably the greatest season of television.
Wait,
ever
is
made.
Season 2 of The Wire the docs?
The Union.
That is great.
It's even better than the first season of True Detective. It's they're right parallel. They're different animals, but
they're trying to do different things
because of the importance of what The Wire season 2 is reflecting on. I think and what it really signifies in terms of America. Okay. This is not a The Wire podcast, but it's about organized crime sort of. So, okay. Interesting. But they made their way in Hollywood, and they didn't have any, none of these connections sort of lingered as far as we know.
It doesn't seem like there was any real
so there was one, and I actually thought this was the one we were going to talk about.
Oh, okay.
So there was a book called The Last Mafioso, about the life of a hitman named Johnny the Weasel Fratiano. And so in that, there's an account that the mob was targeting Desi Arnaz Sr. Because he had produced, what was this?
The Untouchables. The Untouchables.
The Untouchables.
Yeah.
And that they didn't like how it was depicted. And so Roselli, John Roselli, someone, one of the mobsters said that we're going to clip Desi Arnaz, the producer of this show. Said it never happened. Somebody asked Desi about it. He started laughing and he said, I don't know how the hell they couldn't get me. I always drove myself to the studio. I never had a bodyguard in my life.
Yeah, he wouldn't be a hard guy to find. Yeah. when he made The Untouchables, so he ended up producing The Untouchables. And for people who aren't familiar with it, it was later made into a great movie with Kevin Costner playing Elliot Ness and Robert De Niro played Al Pacino. That's a great movie. The Untouchables.
Robert De Niro played Al Capone.
Al Capone. Did I say Al Pacino?
Yeah.
That's a different movie.
Story. If Pacino dies first, De Niro plays him in the biopic. If De Niro dies first, Pacino plays De Niro. It's like they're flipping the tuna in the episode.
That's right. Okay. That's right. But Desi, there was a book written about the Elliot Ness. Elliot Ness was kind of the guy that busted Al Capone, back in the Roaring Twenties kind of stuff. And there was a book that had come out. Desi wanted to produce it as a television show. They did produce it as a television show. And he got a call from Sonny Capone, Al Capone's son, like, Desi, what are you doing to me here? Like, you can't do this. And Desi was like, hey, the story's going to come out. Who do you want to do it? Me or somebody else? Right, that kind of thing. So
interesting.
And interestingly, about Untouchables, one last thing on Untouchables, they brought in Walter Winchell, the guy that was like their enemy in the tabloid. They brought in Walter Winchell to be the narrator of The Untouchables. And Lucy was like, "What are you doing?" And Desi was like, "This guy is like the sound of the truth, the voice of the truth. We put him on the show. It's immediately going to click for everybody what's going on here." So, anyway,
the moral of this story is don't do heroin. That's always the moral. And don't name your son the Weasel if you don't want him to end up being a hitman.
Right.
He's definitely played by Steve Buscemi.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
By default, the Weasel.
Yeah.
Well, this has been a lot of fun. I've enjoyed this. Julie, anything else you're dying to say about the mob connection and Lucille, or anything personal about Lucille Ball, what the show means to you before we sign off?
No, I mean, I think we covered it. If you haven't watched an episode, go watch one. Look at ones that you think that might be funny. They're free, I think, still on Hulu, although they might have taken them off, but they used to be. But yeah, feel good.
They're still super watchable. They're snappy. They're fun. They're super family friendly too. Like, it's a cool thing to watch with kids, I think. Like, I love that Aubrey's into it. Like, it's just they're well done. They're funny. They're a picture of a bygone era too, in a way that few other things really are. You can really think, and it's not a history lesson, it's like a picture of what people's sensibilities were at that time. So it's pretty cool in that regard too.
Yeah, I did have one other thing. There's supposed to be, so anything that's been produced, if Lucy Arnaz has said it's good, the daughter. If not, then, you know, she, probably something's off. But there's a Ron Howard. Documentary coming out soon that Amy Poehler is directing that is supposed to be really good. I think that's coming out in a couple weeks. And then there's a podcast that TCM did that's it's a whole season where they go deep into this called The Plot Thickens. And I think season two is about Lucy and Desi. That's also good.
Yeah.
Beautiful. And season two of The Wire is still the greatest season of television ever made.
And then there's season two of The Wire.
All right. You can always listen to that. Yeah. Jolie, thank you so much. Thank you for the show art. It's beautiful. We love it. Thank you to our listeners. Brad, thank you for all the research in this. And I just can't wait to do 2022, second year of Art of Darkness. Whoop, whoop. Lots of fun.
Yep.
Y'all, take care.
You too.
I love Brad. I love Jolie.
Aw, I love Kevin.
There you go. They love me. It's good. You gotta spread it around, all right? All right, y'all. Take care.
All right, man. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.